Chapter 36. Lu Pei watched dumbfounded as the witch made mincemeat of her tecolotes. Confident that this time, between Estrella's efforts and her own hard work revving up the troops, she'd pulled up in front of the gates and parked. She'd seen her tecolotes get the drop on the bitch, close in on her, and then, what was that? Suddenly the witch was climbing the crane. Her boys followed like rhesus monkeys after an ovulating female, but a funny thing happened once they reached the crossbar. One by one, the witch/bitch/cop picked them off, until only Chango and Benito were left. Then, just as Chango and Benito were about to sink their meat hooks into the witch/bitch/cop, something happened, too far away to see. The witch fell, turned into a Christmas tree ornament, and bounced. She summoned her familiar, an 8-foot demon who pitched Benito off and cut Chango in two with a glittering blur. As the demon descended the crane, Lu Pei floored it, leaving a 4-foot streak of rubber and a fairly reliable tire track and car signature for the cops. She was fearful and furious. Fearful that the witch/bitch/cop would somehow divine her identity, if she hadn't already done so, and come after her. Furious at her failure to put the bitch away, after so much effort. Furious with Estrella for her impotency. Furious with her tecolotes. Furious with Jorge for putting her in this situation in the first place. It was like she didn't know him anymore. The witch had him under her spell. He was obsessed with good deeds, reading up on his karma, practically manhandling little old ladies across the street. Quoting Jesus, Martin Luther, and Martin Luther King Jr. It was enough to make Lu Pei sick. But if they thought Mrs. Gutierrez's little girl Lu Pei was going to fold her wings and crawl back into the nest, they were mistaken. There was more than one way to skin a cat. By now, it had become not so much a matter of jealousy as a matter of honor. Jorge was ruined for Lu Pei anyway. Last night she'd practically begged him to go after the chain around the neck of a woman coming out of a greengrocer's on West 175th, and he'd just laughed. Jorge don't play that game no more. And she'd said, you dumb greaser. You think this gon' get you in that lady cop's pants? She'd half hoped he'd slap her. He just looked at her funny and walked away. To hell with Jorge. If he wasn't going to love her anymore, she may as well get rid of two birds with one stone. Jorge and the lady cop. She drove erratically across the Brooklyn Bridge, pulling over once at Cadman Plaza to toke up from her crack pipe. When she arrived at St. Patrick's, Vespers was still going on and she had to thread her way through a pile of vehicles to make it back into the church's tiny, crowded lot, where there was just room to park the Celica. She sat in the car lot for a minute, shielded by a van belonging to the Archdiocese of New York, and toked up again. She examined her crack stash, enough to get her through the night, if she didn't want to come down. And she didn't. She nurtured her rage from a tiny spark into a devouring blaze. She reached beneath the seat and seized the pistol Bobby had left her, tucked it in her Powerpuff Girls backpack, and headed for home.